Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish announced last week that she was officially entering the race to become Wisconsin's governor in 2022. She's the highest profile Republican in the campaign so far. A businessman named Jonathan Wickman has filed papers in that primary. Other candidates are expected to join the race. We're talking now about the 2022 Wisconsin race for governor, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What issues are important to you? What credentials are important to you in a governor? Do you have thoughts on Governor Evers and his reelection efforts and now Rebecca Clayfish's candidacy? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She's the co-author of several books, including Mad Men in Politics, Nostalgia, and the Remaking of Modern America. Lily, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on today, Rob.
Well, I'll start off with an important asterisk. It's early. A lot could change between now and actual voting. But that said, Wisconsin statewide races tend to be close. Are we expecting lots and lots of national attention on this race here in the state?
Well, I think that the race in Wisconsin for the governor's office is perhaps not the highest profile race, that statewide race that Wisconsin will see, which I think is probably going to be the senator's race. But I think it will be a close second, in part because I think a lot is going to potentially depend on who is in the governor's office and the makeup of the state legislature coming out of 2022 and into 2024. And so I think that it will probably be quite a high-profile race, and probably there will be a lot of national attention.
And now we have former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish as the first big name candidate. Bill McCoshin, as we just heard in the news, was floating the idea of a race. He's not jumping in. There's other names out there. Can you talk about Lieutenant Governor Clayfish as a candidate, obviously involved with the Walker two terms as governor and everything that came out of that? Your thoughts on her as a possible Republican contender?
Well, I mean, she has won a statewide race a couple of times, and including the recall effort. And so she does have that as a credential, not only in terms of who she is within the Republican Party, but the fact that she has run and won statewide race, which is, distinct from other people who have been in assembly districts or statehouse districts and may not have run for a statewide race, or people who are in business who may not have the same kind of political profile that Rebecca Clayfish had as Scott Walker's lieutenant governor for 8 years.
I want to give a listen to Rebecca Clayfish speaking here in her announcement last week. Here's a listen.
And today I announce to you that he may shut down our schools. He may shut down our economy. He may shut down our churches. But today we begin to shut down Tony Evers.
Referring there to early pandemic efforts. Now, we just came out of this election in California, this recall that fell short and shutdown efforts, and the pandemic played big roles there. They were the main line of attack against Governor there, Gavin Newsom. Another asterisk, Wisconsin is not California, but can we learn anything from that effort that appeared to fall short in California?
Well, and again, this is a recall effort in California, and right. So that's a big asterisk there in terms of sort of the regular cycle of elections and having an effort made to recall a sitting governor in California, where they were successful some years back with the election of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they have had regular recalls of other people because they do a lot of recalling apparently in California. We have seen the recall in Wisconsin, but not nearly as much. And so I think that, you know, you do have the issue of the pandemic as something that is relevant in a lot of different states, because many states have different approaches and have taken different approaches along the way, and that Governor Evers has also taken approaches that have been at odds with the state house, the legislature, which is in Republican hands, and so that there's been a lot of tension also with regard to various policies around response to the pandemic. And so I have a feeling that the pandemic is likely to be an issue during the primary. Again, the election is more than a year out, the general election, and we don't exactly know what the status of our health with regard to COVID-19 will be in Wisconsin or other states. So it may be less of an issue at the point of the election next November.
Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University in Waukesha, previewing the race for governor here in Wisconsin in 2022. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What is important to you in this race? What issues do you see as being really at stake in the choice of a governor of Wisconsin? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Owen is with us in Wyawega. Owen, hi.
Yeah, thank you for taking the caller up. Yeah, my biggest concern is if we go completely Republican, on across the spectrum here, we got Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, and then we got Rebecca Clayfish as the incumbent or the challenger or whatever. So we... what are we going to do? We're going to create a whole bunch of laws that a lot of the more liberal folks in the state couldn't deal with as a result. But if we have a balance of power where we have Scott Fitzgerald, Robin Voss in control of the House and the Senate, then we would have a Democratic governor that could veto that. That would probably be all right. But the problem is we have gridlock like we have now. And I just would encourage any constituents to write letters, because I don't think that our politicians actually listen or even are tuned into this radio program right now. I think that they're in their own world and they don't really care about what other people think. They're working for themselves.
Oh, and thanks a lot for the call. And just Scott Fitzgerald has moved on to Congress now, but point taken, Republican control of the legislature, divided government there. I want to start, Lily, with Owen's last point. Feeling a disconnect with politicians of all parties, feeling like they're not representing people. That's something we hear from callers fairly often here. Is that something that's just generally out there in the American public, this, I don't know, like feeling that politicians of any party don't represent them?
Well, I think that, this has long been a complaint that politicians are disconnected from the people that they represent, particularly the ones we, quote, send to Washington because they're so far away from us. And that was something, you can go back to the founding and have that as a concern that people had. At the same time, when you're sort of electing people and sending them to the state house, they're generally not as, quote, far away from you. But they may be. At this point, because of partisan polarization, they may be more interested in listening to what the parties are telling them to do than what their constituents are telling them to do. And that's, I think, where a lot of people feel like there is a disconnect between the people that they elect or vote for and what those people do when they're in office.
Thanks for the call, Owen. Owen also brings up a likely choice of outcomes, either full Republican control if a Republican is elected and if Republicans keep control of the legislature, or our current state of affairs with divided government where there's checks and balances, but as Owen pointed out, gridlock. I don't know. What do you think of voters comparing those two alternatives?
Well, I mean, I think that it's very much the case that we have certainly seen over the last couple of years of the Evers administration is that he has been confronted by a legislature that is very much opposed to a lot of what he's trying to do, and he's opposed to what the legislature is trying to do. So instead of necessarily having, a nebulous kind of divided government, we do end up in this kind of gridlock situation. And Evers has used the veto a lot, which is something that governors and presidents do often when they're faced with a legislature that is passing legislation that they don't support.
We're talking to Lily Gorin, professor of political science at Carroll University, previewing the 2022 Wisconsin governor's race. Governor Tony Evers running for re-election. Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, the big name so far in the Republican field in the race. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a Republican, is there somebody you want to see run that hasn't announced a candidacy yet? Whatever party you are or aren't, what are the most important things for you when you're thinking about who you want to be the next governor of Wisconsin? Do you have thoughts, hopes on ways Wisconsin government could work better, regardless of who the governor is? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Carroll University political science professor Lily Gorin about how the 2022 race for Wisconsin governor is shaping up. You can join in with your thoughts. 800-642-1234 is the number. What issues have you worried and or excited about this upcoming campaign for governor here in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to our callers now. Sally is with us in Medford. Sally, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. And I just agree so much with your guest when she said that voters are really tired of partisan gridlock. Because of that, me and my husband are determined that we're going to vote for an independent candidate. We already have somebody we're backing. We believe he's a strong and decent candidate. But his biggest contribution, honestly, is that he's neither Republican nor Democrat. He's independent. And we believe we absolutely have to break this system because it's killing our state and it's killing our country. And we believe that's the only way forward.
Sally, thanks for the call. Sally, frustrated with the two-party system. Lily, looking for outside alternatives. It's a tall order, though. We've had independent campaigns for governor here in Wisconsin that didn't end up getting a lot of votes.
That's true, although our neighbors to the north have had more successful independent campaigns for governor in the election of Jesse Ventura about 20 years ago. And, of course, Wisconsin about 100 years ago elected third-party candidates to office. But you are absolutely right that third-party candidates, particularly these days in Wisconsin, we don't have a lot of mechanisms for a lot of traction for third-party candidates, but that doesn't mean that they should be ruled out.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sally. I think people look back sometimes to the era when Tommy Thompson was the Republican governor of Wisconsin. Democrats controlled the legislature, and, they didn't hug each other all the time, but they passed stuff, they made bargains, they dealt with each other. Is that just sort of golden age thinking, or has something really changed where that partisan divide doesn't allow that kind of cooperation?
The partisan divide these days is so acute, and you see this not only in Wisconsin, but you see it at the national level as well, that there's often little room for cooperation. And in part, that's oftentimes the case because one party doesn't want to give a, quote, win to the other party. And so you see this on both sides of the aisle, but it tends to be asymmetric in terms of less cooperation, oftentimes, this is not exclusive, with regard to Republicans not wanting to give a win to a Democrat. And so there is that part of the equation that we don't have the same kind of sort of cooperation across the board in bipartisan ways that we used to have, although the halcyon nature of those sort of memories are not always as halcyon as people sometimes make them out to be.
Yeah, I don't think at the time anybody thought they were in a golden age of happiness and cooperation.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Marie is with us in Dodgeville. Marie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Marie?
Gerrymandering. I'm really concerned about it. I think that's the biggest reason that we feel that our politicians are not really representing us, because we have one of the most gerrymandered states in the country, and the lines have been drawn to rig the system, and it's in favor of one-party rule. It decreases competition. It muffles the voices of citizens who are in the minority. We don't get equal representation, we end up with hyper-partisanship. And so as the lines are being redrawn now, because of the census having happened, maybe we can start to have fair maps for a change. If the People's Map Commission gets their way, gets to be heard, instead of having a secret map drawing session with just a few Republican figures.
Marie, thanks a lot for the call. This will affect, of course, the race for the state legislature coming up in 2022 at the same time as the governor's race we're talking about. A hot issue now, Lily, your thoughts on redistricting and gerrymandering.
Well, I mean, this is absolutely one of the reasons why the polarization tends to be more acute, is because oftentimes the districts that are drawn are so safe that the politician who gets elected from them doesn't have to listen to the people who are in the minority who didn't vote for that person, because they have no need to have to depend on those votes in any way. And as a result of that, you do end up with, you know, sort of people really entrenched in their positions, in their partisan positions, and to some degree often unwilling to make any kind of compromise because they don't have to.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Lily, for the race for governor and for U.S. Senate, you mentioned that race as well. It's not gerrymandering. It's a district the size of Wisconsin. But you'd think in such an evenly divided state, or you might think, that that would make candidates run toward the middle to pick off enough votes on their side. But we have a really liberal U.S. senator, a really conservative U.S. senator. Our governor candidates don't seem to run toward the middle. Why not?
Well, I mean, I think while we are sort of an evenly divided state, the politics in Wisconsin is hardly purple. There are red parts of the state and blue parts of the state. And I think that's one of the reasons why the candidates, particularly for statewide race, often run and try to, you know, get their supporters out so that whoever is the Republican or the Democrat tries to get more of their own supporters out, as opposed to trying to work across and pull people from the other party to support them. And that's been the case for a while now.
Wanted to actually, let's go back to our callers. Ann is with us in Wausau. Ann, hi.
Yes, I just wanted to call and say that I'm a huge proponent of term limits, because I think what's happening in our country is people are in office too long, and it becomes that they're developing way too much power, or it becomes a power struggle versus them serving the constituents that they represent and then going back on their, you know, going back to their lives.
And thanks a lot for the call. And some states, I know, Lily, do have term limits for the governor. We do not here in Wisconsin. What's the political science thinking on the impact of term limits?
Well, I mean, at the national level, it's a much more difficult conversation because it would have to be a constitutional amendment. But at the state level, you can have term limits for governors, and you could potentially have them also for state elected officials in the assembly as well. And, you know, it sort of varies from state to state. One of the oddest states with regard to term limits is Virginia, which only lets you be governor for one term. They have their election on odd cycles, so they are having a governor's race this coming year. And in that context as well, you can run again, but you can't run again immediately. And so you're one and done, as they call it in Virginia. And so you're there and you do the work, and then that's it. You have 4 years to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Other states have a couple, you know, you can be governor for a couple of terms. We have that at the presidential level as well. There are pluses and minuses in terms of the learning curve and implementing an agenda, and then also leaving office without being there for very long time.
In our last couple of minutes, Lily, I want to bring up a wild card issue, abortion. A lot of lawsuits, the Texas law, a Mississippi court case headed to the Supreme Court. If Roe versus Wade is limited or overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, it becomes a huge issue in states like Wisconsin with some laws on the books. What are your thoughts on that and how it could play out in this election?
Well, I think, and we saw a little bit of this in the California recall election, and I have a feeling we're going to see more of it in state elections as they unfold, is that that abortion, if Roe versus Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court, or if there are more efforts like SB8 in Texas, the states implement severely limiting access to abortion rights, and sort of rights under the right to privacy, that this is actually going to become an issue that state candidates are going to be campaigning on, because it may devolve to the state directly and immediately with regard to abortion rights and elimination of access to abortion in states as well.
We'll leave it there. Lily, thanks again for joining us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Sorry about the dog barking.
I didn't even hear it. We'd love to meet dogs on this show. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She joined us for a look at the race for governor of Wisconsin. You can follow all the news as it develops at WPR.org. Our news team will bring you developments as they continue, and a lot more news, of course, to come in 2022.